they should light them candles earlier.
Perfect time. Any time before the service is just
good morning. Big warm welcome to everyone to our church this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. Today, in the church calendar, it is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday, and this is the day when we thank God that He, our one God, has revealed Himself to us in three different ways: as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. So in the church lectionary, this is what we celebrate on this particular day, Holy Trinity Sunday. So we pray that God will bless us as we worship. We know He will, because He always does. Laurie, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. Announcements for today. Vacation Bible School, welcome to Wimmettville. Based on Max Lucardo's books, July 16th through 19th, 9 through 12:30 each. I believe it's for 4 days. We need some help for that. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so if you are able to come in and give a hand, whether it be, you know, in the nursery or just being there to give a hand that's needed, we'd sure appreciate it. So please speak with Chelsea or Sharon. Also with VBS, Joanne is looking for shoebox lids, Kleenex boxes, or shallow boxes, approximately the size of a shoebox lid for one of the crafts. If you're able to have anything, if you have anything like that at home, please bring it in. Church picnic will be June 17th, which is Father's Day, at the Big Prairie Hall. Coffee's at 10 a.m., and the service starts at 11. Piano lessons in Cremona. If you're interested in piano lessons, see our church notice board for a great introductory rate for attendees of our church. We're still needing some helpers for mowing the lawn. It's important to us to keep our grounds nice and tidy. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer, or you could speak with Richard. The youth group is fundraising this spring by offering to work the members, or offering our youth to work for the members of the congregation. You can hire members of the youth group for $10 an hour for 2 to 4 hours from now till the end of June. If you could please see Courtney Sheehan if you're interested, as she's now double selling her youth slaves. Next week, Ian is away, and the worship team will be looking after our service with Sandra doing the message. Also, there's going to be a toddler shower for Jillian Reed, daughter of Phil and Andrea Reed. It will be one to be a toddler shower for Jillian Reed, daughter of Phil and Andrea Reed. It will be 1:30 on June the 16th here at the church. And Andy will fill us in on what her 2 weeks in China were like for her. And I think that would be a wonderful time to come in and give something special to little Jillian, our newest member of our congregation. And I believe that's all. Is there any other message? Any other announcements today? Thank you.
There is one other thing that was mentioned to me as people were coming into church this morning. Charlotte Reed came up to me and she told me that she'd lost one of her teeth. And to a child, this is important, you know. You need to hang on to those teeth. There's a specific reason for them. And she lost it when she was eating pizza, and that's the problem. She hasn't seen it since. So if you see a tooth lying around anywhere, you know who it belongs to. Did you have something else, Laurie? I heard you say, oh.
No,
nothing.
Good.
Nothing. No further announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before His presence in silence. We read in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." And it is for refreshment of the soul that we gather this day to worship. And to lead us into our worship, I'm happy to invite Claire to come on up here and lead us in our worship choruses, our approach choruses. Thank you.
Good morning. Our first one will be number 244. There's a Redeemer. One is 164, Cry of My Heart. Last one is 215, Open Our Eyes. going to sing it once more.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we
Thanks to Claire for that lead into our worship with our approach chorus. She chose some beautiful choruses there, and it was a beautiful lead into worship. And can you remember when she used to be little Claire? Not anymore. Thank you, Claire. Beautiful. Good job. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us together once again as a church family. And we love this family, Lord. We love to be able to come into this place to worship you and to feel the warmth of your love all around us as we are greeted by our many brothers and sisters in Christ in this wonderful, rich fellowship. And this fellowship, Lord, is rich because of your grace and because of your presence with us. And so we pray, Holy Father, in this time of worship, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, that each of us may hear your voice as you speak to us all individually. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept the praise we bring as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honor and glory to the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. We're going to recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Now, whilst you are searching for Charlotte's tooth, if you come across a little piece out of the end of my little microphone here, do not discard it. The tooth goes to Charlotte, and this little bit here comes to me, or to Grant, or to Richard, if you find it, whilst you are searching. I'm sure you will search diligently. I believe this thing still works. Are we working? Are we working? We are working. Excellent. Now then, we come to a very important time of our worship service, the sacrament of holy baptism. And If the children would like to come forward and so they can see the baptism better, the children can come and sit on this front pew here. If they'd like to do that, children, do you want to stay with your parents or do you want to come up here to see the baptism? Up to yourselves. Well, I guess I'll go and sit down there. Would those who present their child for the sacrament of holy baptism, those people and their supporters, please come forward now. Thank you. Now, if there's any grandparents who would like to come forward to see this baptism close up, please come on up here now. Hi, Oliver. I remember you. Now, Matt, Christie, you want to come up here? That's great. Look at you. Hey, look at you. There you go.
I present Cameron Louise McKinnon for the sacrament of holy baptism. We read in the Gospel of St. Mark 10:13-16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
In this sacrament of holy baptism, we celebrate God's love, a love revealed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A love that has surrounded this child from her very beginning. In this sacrament of baptism, we proclaim that God has acted, she's paying close attention, to save this child. He adopts her as a member of his family, incorporating her into the living body of Christ. In this sacrament of baptism, we consecrate her to God's purposes, knowing that even though we may falter, God will not, that he will continue through his Holy Spirit the work begun this day, a work in which life triumphs over death. The promises before God to the parents. I ask you therefore before God and this congregation, do you present this child earnestly desiring that by this sacrament of baptism she be made a member of the Church of Christ? If this is so, please answer, I do. Would the congregation please stand? Beloved in Christ, do you receive this child in Christ's name as we have been received, promising to support her with constant love, wholesome example, Christian teaching, and faithful prayer? Are you willing to accept so great a responsibility? If this is so, please answer, we are willing, God being our helper.
We are willing, God being our helper.
Thank you. Please be seated. Parents, I ask you before God in this congregation, do you profess your faith in God, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide? If this is so, please answer, I do. Will you bring up your child in the knowledge and love of God, teaching her the truths and duties of the Christian faith? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Thank you. Will you provide a Christian home for her, so fashioning your lives that she may come to know Christ as her Saviour? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you encourage her to seek confirmation, that being strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit and nurtured at the table of the Lord, she may go forth to serve God faithfully in the world? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. We bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, whose beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
has bidden us make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in thy name. Sanctify with thy Holy Spirit this child now to be baptized according to thy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Cameron. Hello. We were getting on quite well before.
Come and see what's up here.
Look at all those nice people. Look at all those nice people. What is the name of this child? Cameron Louise McKinnon. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the glorious Head of the Church, I declare that Cameron has been received into the Holy Christian Church here on earth. Cameron, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Cameron, let's go meet your family. While we're doing our walkabout, you can do your bit, Laurie.
Sure. Thank you.
Look at all these nice people, your family here, eh? Hello. Hello. You get a smile later. There you go. Look at all these nice people here, eh? Isn't that nice? Hello. You can line up for your smiles later. There's Sophie in this grand. Hello. There you go. Look at all these nice people back here. She said, I know some of these. There they all are. Hey, look at all those nice people. Hey, all your family. Are you coming, Ollie, as well? Yes. She was about to tell me something there, but we didn't quite get that far. There you go. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Boy, this girl's heavy. There you go. Who's going to take this child from me? Thank you. God bless. God bless, Christy. God bless. God bless. Congratulations. Thank you. Now I'm delighted to be able to invite Regan Reed to come on up here this morning and present for us special music. Regan, thank you. She used to be Little Regan. You remember that?
Thank you.
When you read that, that's fine. What a good job. Quite a young lady, isn't she? Isn't that wonderful? My word. Well done, Reverend. It's quite a joy when you see our young people who are growing up within our church family, and they're contributing to our worship in such a wonderful way. And wasn't your foot tapping when we got into that? That was great. Thank you, Reagan. Good job. We thank you so much. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, you enrich our lives so much in so many different ways, and we are thankful. And we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, and along with our gifts, Lord, we bring our lives. We dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth, and we ask you, Father, to accept them all, for we come in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. So the children will now be going out to Sunday school. Is that right? Yes, it is. Got that right? Sure you did. Thank you. Whilst I was putting together our worship service for today, this next hymn that we're going to sing came into my mind. You know, sometimes that happens. It just sits there right in your mind. And it's a hymn which fits in perfectly for Trinity Sunday. And so I went diving in the hymn book looking for it, and it wasn't there. But anyway, Grant has it in our system of hymns. It was in our old hymn book that we used to use prior to moving into this particular one that we have now. So right now we stand and we sing to the glory of God that old hymn, "Thou Whose Almighty Word." Come to our time of prayer. And I got to tell you, on Friday I went into the hospital in Calgary to visit Peggy. And that lady is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, when she went in for this surgery, I think the doctors, the surgeons were saying she'd probably be in there for 3 weeks. That's, you know, considering her age and the enormity of what they were doing to her and so on. And she's coming home today. Can you believe that? She's coming home today. She was sitting up there smiling and, you know, not a care in the world and happy to see you and unbelievable. I expected her to be stretched out in her bed with the blankets under her chin. And she was amazing. I could not believe it. And I thought to myself, if I'm not looking at answered prayer, then what am I looking at? This is just incredible. You know, and when I got up to leave, she walked me to the elevator. Can you believe that? She walked me to the elevator, waved me off, and does God answer prayer? Does God answer prayer? My word, he sure does. God hears every prayer that we pray. And we need to ask God for his grace to accept whatever the answer may be to those prayers. But he answers them. He absolutely answers them. And Peggy is just incredible. That's not the only one. You know, we've got all kinds of people who stand in the need of prayer. And when we pray for them, God hears those prayers and he answers them. Dave Bricker went down to the hospital, and the poor guy got caught in that revolving door, you know, and he had a fall. And he's not doing so well. But he's I talked to Phyllis, and she says, oh, he's doing all right. He's got to have 3 days of rest. But he did have a mild concussion, and so, you know, keep Dave Bricker in your prayers, and he's not so steady on his feet. And you know, down at the foothills, you know the door I'm talking about, it revolves and it just keeps going slowly. And you've got to get through there or it'll get you. And it caught him and it sent him down. And God will hear your prayers for him and for all of your friends for whom you pray at this time. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made a place for us in our lives where we are safe. You are our refuge and strength, and we know that we can put our trust in you. There are many forces at work in this world, Lord, that threaten us, and in some ways they harm us. Sorrow comes to all of us. Accidents happen. Suffering lays us low. We are surrounded by temptations. Yet we are assured once again, Lord, that with you, when we are in your care and protection, we are safe. May we be conscious at all times of your presence with us, Father. Grant, O Lord, that we may always depend on you to help us in our times of danger, both physical and spiritual, and also in times of weakness. May we never presume on your goodness and grace by foolish and willful acts. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful gift of friends. Friends, Lord, who we rely upon. Friends whom we need to lift us and encourage us. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit that guides us and makes us brave, even when we do not feel it. And Father, we have your holy word to temper our excessiveness and to nudge us to daily obedience. Lord, as we receive your wonderful gifts, may we be helpful friends, praying for one another, and speaking your words of grace in the precious moments of opportunity or necessity. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us through your Holy Trinity, that as our Father you created us, as our Saviour Jesus, you have redeemed us. And as the Holy Spirit, you are with us. You comfort us in all things. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will watch over your church here on earth. Inspire all of those whom you call and grant obedience to all of us, Lord, to your precious word. And we thank you, Father, for our own church family. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon every home represented here. We are conscious, Father, as we look around us, of those of our friends who are not here today. We see their empty seats, and we think about them. And also, Lord, we have in our hearts friends and acquaintances who suffer at this time, in body, in mind, and in spirit. And we are most thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who loves them and cares for each and every one of them. And Lord, we ask you now to hear our silent prayers for peace and for healing in their lives. We pray in silence. Heavenly Father, on this day of her baptism, we pray for little Cameron. We thank you for her precious little life, and we pray that you will bless her, that she may grow in your love and grow in grace, and she may grow to become a wonderful and faithful witness to your love here on earth. Bless her as she grows, Lord. Bless her parents. Bless her home and all who care for her. We are most thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us. And Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers as we pray for peace in this world in which we live. We see your world being torn apart, Lord, in many parts by war and by troubles and unrest. But we pray, gracious Father, that all who bow down and call you Lord in their hearts, no matter what goes on round about them, we pray that they may know of your wonderful peace, which passeth all understanding. And Father, we pray for ourselves. We are most aware of how great is our need of your power and presence in our lives. And so we ask you, Lord, to once again fill us with your Spirit and empower us to be your faithful witnesses in the world as we proclaim the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, in everything that we say and in all things that we do, that we may experience your presence. We may know the wonderful joy of living that you promise to all who bow down and call you Lord and Saviour. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Scripture readings this morning, our first one is from John 3. And it's about Jesus being born again. And Jesus was constantly facing disbelief of how this could happen, and people didn't believe in it. So his first, he was speaking to a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe when I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake into the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Second reading this morning is from Romans 8, verses 12 to 17, and it's about life in the Spirit. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you will live in fear again. rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
My thanks to Bill for those readings from the Scriptures. Whilst I was in visiting with Peggy, she was very interested in our worship service today. This is Peggy. And she was asking about the different hymns that we were singing. And when I told her that we were singing this next hymn, which is Holy, 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 Peggy has always told me that this was her mum's favourite hymn. And it's a hymn we always sing on Trinity Sunday for obvious reasons. And when I told Peggy we were singing Holy, 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 she said, oh no, I'm going to miss it. And I wouldn't have been surprised to see Peggy sitting here this morning. But we stand and we sing to God's glory the hymn 262, Holy, Holy, Holy. I meant to mention to you a little bit earlier there that Wilma Brandsma also had surgery on her foot this week, and everything went as planned in that situation, but it was quite an operation that she had on her foot. And I was talking to Bill and he said they had to put a screw in the bottom, and oh, you kind of go, ugh. Can you imagine that? Ugh. But But anyway, Wilma's going to be sort of out of action for about 4 weeks, you know, while she recuperates from her surgery. But keep her in your heart and mind as well. And I would also like at this point to say thank you to Laurie for providing our music today. And as I was sitting there saying a word of prayer, I could hear her playing, and it's just beautiful. She's such a beautiful pianist. We are so richly blessed as a church family in the talent that God has graced upon this family here. We are so blessed. So we have so much to be thankful for. And we thank you, Laurie, for providing the music today. Beautiful. And it's not easy switching from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it. But I appreciate it. Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In life, there are many mysteries. There are many things that we do not understand. Some people call them puzzles, others mysteries. But there is a difference. Love is a mystery. A crossword is a puzzle. You can usually ultimately solve a puzzle, but a mystery, you stand in awe of a mystery. And of course, today is Trinity Sunday, Holy Trinity Sunday, when we celebrate that our one God has revealed himself to us in three different ways. As God our Father in heaven, as God the Son coming to earth in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and as God the Holy Spirit by his ongoing presence in the world, in our bodies, in our lives, in our homes, in our church, all around us. The Holy Trinity is a mystery. It isn't a puzzle. You will never solve it. You can only stand in awe of it. It is well quoted of the Holy Trinity that if you try to understand it, you may lose your mind. And if you deny it, you may lose your soul. Saint Augustine is believed to be one of the church's most astute thinkers, one of the most astute thinkers in the Christian church. And he thought a lot about the Holy Trinity. And at one time he says he thought about the Holy Trinity constantly, trying to resolve it in his own mind, trying to understand it, approaching it as if it was a puzzle and rather than a mystery. Until that day when he strolled along the beach. You've heard the story how St. Augustine watched that child with his little bucket of water, and he was dipping it in the ocean and pouring it into the hole that he had dug in the sand. And he told Augustine that he was trying to empty the ocean into that hole. That is when God revealed to St. Augustine that you're trying to do the same yourself. You are trying to understand the mysteries of God, specifically the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And it is arrogant and even presumptuous to think that with our minds, which are very finite, very limited, we could ever comprehend an infinite God who is huge, who is vast. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity does not in any way explain God. It only explains to us in a very elementary way what God has revealed to us about himself so far. There is but one God. There is but one God who has revealed himself in three different ways, as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. A young girl at school was asked to write an essay about another one of life's mysteries, about childbirth. So she did some research on the subject. She asked her mother how she had been born into this world. And her mum, who was pretty busy at the time, absent-mindedly answered, "Oh, the stork brought me and left me at the door." So she took notes and she continued her research by looking for her father. Now he was also in the middle of something. So he deflected the question and he had his story that he had been found under a gooseberry bush. If you have gooseberry bushes, check them regularly. The girl then asked her grandmother, who it seems had arrived into the world via a special delivery of the fairies. So with her research completed, the girl wrote her essay. And when the teacher asked her to stand up in the class and read it, she began, "There has not been a natural birth in our family for at least 3 generations. And when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about being born again, he wasn't speaking about natural birth, as Nicodemus had supposed. As Jesus explains to him, he's talking about a spiritual birth, a spiritual birth, a birth that is necessary, according to Jesus, to enter the kingdom of heaven. A birth that is not natural, a birth that is supernatural. Or better described as a mystery of God. In the contemporary English version of the Bible, Jesus says, "I tell you for certain, before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born of the Spirit. Parents give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God." Only God's Spirit. Only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Think for a moment about your birth. Your spiritual birth. Your unnatural, mysterious spiritual birth. And how we can see the involvement in our own spiritual birth of the Trinity, of God in 3 persons. God the Father created us, gave us life via our natural birth. God the Son saves us by becoming one with us and dying for us on a cross and taking away our sins. And God the Holy Spirit offers us a supernatural birth, a spiritual birth by which we are granted entrance to heaven, to eternal life. The Spirit, God's Spirit, comes upon us and lives and works within us and around us. God's Holy Spirit is what is known as ubiquitous. Ubiquitous. This is a word that's often used in relation to modern life, computing, communications, and it means being everywhere at the same time. Being everywhere at the same time. God's Holy Spirit is ubiquitous. He is everywhere at the same time. Can you get your mind around that? Everywhere at the same time. It's a mystery of God. It's a mystery. Don't try to understand it. It's a mystery. We step back and we stand in awe of it. Some of today's modern contemporary churches reject some of the mysteries of God because they are unable to understand them. They are unable to explain them. But their rejection of God's mysteries, such as the Holy Trinity, such as the virgin birth, such as being born again, a spiritual birth, it only weakens their message. It takes away the reality and the great mysteries of God. When J.B. Phillips wrote his book, "Your God is Too Small," his meaning is that we can never really fully understand just how great and how huge and how majestic God is. And unless we can begin to start to accept the mysteries of God, we never will get any understanding of God. Now, the writer of Psalm 19, he may not have had modern technology at his disposal as we have, but the writer of this psalm certainly had a vision of God's majestic presence in the universe. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." He wrote this, and he wrote, "The skies declare what he has done." 150 years before Christ, the Greek astronomer Hipparchus, and I might be saying that all wrong, Hipparchus, he said that there were exactly 1,026 stars in the heavens. Do you want to count them? 1,500 years after him, Galileo, using his newly invented telescope, looked into the sky and said that there were many, many, many more times that number. Today, we know that there are at least 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And apparently, there are billions of such galaxies as this. How's your mind coping with this? How is your mind getting to grips with the size of our God who placed all of these stars, who created all of it? And the scriptures tell us that he named every one of them. Wow! The heavens declare the glory of God. Now try to imagine a God who is even bigger than all of this. Bigger than all of this. Can you imagine a God for whom time does not exist? We talk about forever. We say forever is a long time. But that's not it at all. We cannot really grasp forever, because forever is in God's dimension. And where God is, there is no time. What? It's confusing, isn't it? It's confusing. As St. Augustine taught us, time is just another one of God's creations. It's another one of God's mysteries. God created time, and he created space, and he created all the glorious heavens, as well as everything down here on earth. God's heavenly kingdom is in God's dimension. And in God's kingdom, there is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. It's always now. And you know all of those times when you wonder why God doesn't keep to our timetable? Now you know why. We sing, "In his time, in his time." But do we know what we're talking about, in his time? Time is a convenience given to us by God, a convenience by which we measure God. Sorry, we measure things, but by that same thing, we cannot measure God. We cannot measure God by the gifts that he has given to us. We cannot use time to try to measure God. So can you start to see what J.B. Phillips is talking about when he says, "Your God is too small"? We try to create God in our own image, but God is way beyond our imagining. Way beyond our imagining. So when we say God in three persons, what we are doing is that we are reaffirming that God is way beyond the measurements which we mere mortals measure life, beyond our understanding of life and beyond our reality. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. And you step back in awe of it. It's confusing, isn't it? Isn't it confusing? And if you're stepping back and thinking to yourself, what the heck's all this about? What is he talking about? What I'm talking about is, it's a mystery. Just stand back in awe of this mighty God whom we serve, who created us. And hears every prayer that we offer. Every single prayer that we offer. There is an old Chinese proverb which says, a bird does not sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. It sings because it has a song. When we come to church to worship God, it does not mean that we have all the answers. It simply means that we have a song to sing. We do not understand how the Lord of all creation could empty himself and become a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. We have difficulty in understanding how a crude cross of execution erected by Roman soldiers on top of a hillside outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, how can we try to understand that this act was going to save us, save the world? And we do not understand how the God of billions and billions of galaxies, how he hears every single prayer that every single one of us offers to him. And what about that born again thing? Well, we do know that this is inviting Christ's Holy Spirit into our lives. And if we do that, that Holy Spirit gives us a passport to heaven, to eternal life. This is why God created us, to worship him, to glorify his name whilst we are here on earth, that when we get to heaven, we might glorify his name with all of the saints who gather there now. We are not here because we have all the answers. And we know this. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. And this is the word of God. And we believe it. And this is what it tells us. We do not understand it all. It is a mystery. But we believe it. We are not here because we have all the answers. We are here because we have a song to sing. For all of the mysteries of God, we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymns now. I'm playing for time here, Laurie, trying to give you time to get to the music. We have a musical conference taking place here. We are going to stand and we are going to sing to God's glory, how deep the Father's love for us. And what a true statement that is.
Behold the Son upon the
312 to be God's people. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.